I have the privilege of introducing a very special guest, someone who's become a very good friend of our church over the years. And he's someone who I've had the opportunity to do ministry with, my wife and I, actually, through hockey camps, Hockey Ministries International, Bill Butters. And I just want to say a few things about him. Raise your hand if you've heard him speak before. Yeah. So a lot of us know who he is. He's an incredible speaker. And I just want to say, you know, I'm really proud to know Bill. And it's really not because he played hockey. It's not because he's missing teeth and he can take them out and be goofy. He might even do that if you ask him. It's not because he knows all these NHL guys and has coached college hockey. It's because he is a genuinely authentic man of God, right? And when you get to know him, it just, he's the kind of guy you want to be like, really. So when he comes up here to speak, I just want you guys to be really engaged. I want you to listen to his heart. He is a wonderful man of God, incredible leader. And I really want to, we want to, as a church, and Jarvis, I think, is going to talk about this a little bit more, but we want to be able to raise some money for his ministry so that he can provide Bibles. I talked about reading the Bible this year, right? There are probably people out there that want to have that opportunity that have never had it to read the Bible from start to finish. And we want to be able to provide that opportunity for Bill so that he can do that and he can continue on his ministry. So without further ado, big watermark round of applause for Bill Butters.
Good morning. I am actually a missionary, if you believe that. So I don't get to go to Africa, but that little group of people there that you saw back on the screen, that's the ministry God has called me to minister to hockey players. And I just want to tell you that we go, or I don't know, has anyone ever been to a Wild game or a Gopher game? Anybody to a pro hockey game, college game? They have a bigger house of worship than this. They hold 20,000 people. And those players out there, some of you people maybe have these jerseys like with Zach Parise's number on the back or one of your favorite players. And you actually stand up in a house of worship, the Excel Center, and raise your hands and go, "Yay, Zach! Yeah!" We sang a couple songs about Jesus, and I saw my hand get about this high, you know. But we come to our house of worship, and we don't give praise and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ as well as we do to an athlete. So my ministry is to those guys, because, like, if you went to Africa or you went to a third world country, those people hope there's a God. They hope there's a God who loves them and cares about them and will provide for them. Unfortunately, many professional athletes think they're God because they have everything the world can offer, and there's 20,000 people at every game worshiping them with hands in the air, screaming their name, and giving their money. I have friends that have season tickets, and they spend $20,000 a year on going to pro games. And they don't give $20,000 to their church. Not that it's about money or anything, but it is just a way of we worship. And so my ministry is taking me out of hockey to learn the scriptures, and now go back to the hockey world and tell them that Jesus loves them. And they need a savior. Because all the money they make and all the jerseys that people wear and worship them, that's not going to get them to heaven. That's not going to get them to heaven. Only a faith in Jesus Christ. And some of these guys have good hearts. They're wonderful men. But because they're playing hockey at 9 o'clock on Sunday morning, and they're traveling all over the world to play in tournaments and this and that on the weekends, and their families are going with them and renting hotel rooms, they don't get a chance to go to church. They don't get a chance to be part of a congregation like this and sing about Jesus and hear a message about the Lord, because they're worshiping their God, the hockey God. So maybe you don't know this, but this congregation supports me and sends me as a missionary. So I'm one of your missionaries. that you support financially to send me to the hockey world. And I just want to let you know that 706 boys and girls last summer could sing that same song that we sang today. They decided to follow Jesus. They decided to follow Jesus. So your giving that you send to missionaries, just know that 700 kids gave their life to Christ. So let's give them a little round of applause. Yeah. So that's what missionaries do. They come and they tell about little stories like that. But I have to tell you that I want to go back to the Christmas story once. And it just came to me this year. I was reading a Christmas story, and there's a couple guys, I don't know, some people in their little nativity scenes they put on their piano or in their home, they have these three guys. They're called the wise men or magi. And they're right at the manger scene on that night, or even further, because they saw a star, and they knew the scriptures a little bit because they were learned people, they were wise men, and they said, the Messiah is going to be born in a town in Bethlehem. There's going to be a star. So they were astrologers too. So they looked in the stars. They saw the star and they followed it. And then because they were wise men, and I don't know if they were royalty, but the way they did it, they went to the king or the ruler of that city and they introduced themselves and they told them the business they were at. They said, we saw the star. We're going to come and worship the king. So Herod said, hey, I want to worship the king too, so after you find him, come back and tell me where he is. So they went and they found the child with his mother, and they bowed down and they worshiped him. And then they took a nap or something because God spoke to him in a dream and says, don't go back that way, there's danger. So they didn't go back to talk to Herod. They went home a different way. And that song you sang just now, I have decided to follow Jesus. There's no turning back. So when we decide to follow Jesus, God asks us to leave something and to follow him. When Jesus started his ministry some 30 years later, all he said to people, he didn't say join a Bible study, join a small group, go to a church, give your money to missionaries, none of that. He just said, hey, come and follow me. And the disciples left their jobs, left their homes, and followed him. So God may be calling you to follow him this year, to get to know him better. And it happened to me when I was 30 years old. Jimmy and I played for a guy by the name of Herb Brooks in college. He's a little bit younger than me. But we did play for the same coach. And Herb Brooks took a group of college-age kids and won the gold medal in 1980. What is it called? Miracle on Ice. A few months later, in a little town in Minnesota, another miracle on ice took place. An obscure old hockey player, I was younger at the time, was at a hockey camp, and some 12-year-old boys led me to faith in Jesus Christ. I hated Christians growing up. I had a dysfunctional, I had nothing to do with them. And I ended up at a hockey camp, a Christian camp. And those little boys you saw there just were on the ice, just showing an old guy about the love of Christ. And one night at that camp, I decided to follow Jesus. And since that time, there's been no turning back. I wanted to be a salesman. I wanted to be a millionaire. I wanted to do stuff. I didn't want to follow Jesus, but he just called me. He said, Bill, come and follow me. Come and tell people about Jesus. Not businessmen, not moms, not stay-at-home moms, not businesswomen, not school teachers, but I want you to go back to the hockey world. I want you to go back to the hockey world and tell hockey players they don't have to be drunks. They don't have to use foul language. They don't have to show their toughness by punching people. They can love Jesus and still be an athlete. So that's been my call in my life. A Miracle on Ice, 1980, July 7th. I decided to follow Jesus. And I've been going to camps. We have 37 camps in 8 countries. So starting in June, I travel all over the hockey playing world and talk to little boys and girls about being a great hockey player. I can still skate. I never was a very good player, but I can get on the ice and do some stuff. And then I get some college and pro guys to come with me. And they show these kids how to shoot and pass and skate, and they get all excited. And then at night, we just get to ask them, do you know Jesus? And it's a beautiful, beautiful way to spend the summer. And like I said, over 700 kids gave their life to Christ. And then during the year, I get to meet with the Gophers and the Wild and the UMD Bulldogs and other colleges and talk to players once a week about their faith in God. Do they know Jesus? Have they decided? Are you a wise man? You like the wise men? Did you read about him and hear about him? But then did you decide to follow? And then realize you got to leave something when you follow someone? I just want to share a story. And Dan and Brianna were there. They are worship leaders at our camp in Minnesota. They volunteer like a lot of people do. And this year, I'm on the ice with a group of 10-year-old boys and 11-year-old boys, and they're skating around. There's this kid. He was awful. I mean, he was a bad hockey player. I mean, he was a first-year player. You could tell no one ever really helped him or talked to him. His name was Sam. And I would go up to Sam every day and go, Sam, you are really getting good. Man, are you good? And he could just see a big smile on his face. You know, I just tried to encourage him. I didn't know him or anything. But you could tell some of the kids were kind of chuckling at him that he wasn't as good as they were. But he got all pumped up. And then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So during the week, after we skate, we're on the ice 3 hours a day with a group of kids and then another group. So I'm on the ice about 9 hours a day. We do dry land training, teach them how to do push-ups and run and pull-ups and different things. We play games. We eat lunch. We have Bible studies during the day. Then at night, I get to share. And other guys get to share. But then I ask the kids, if anyone would like to know Jesus or know about him, you could stay after and we'll talk about Jesus. So one night, this group of kids stayed back, and they asked some questions, and they prayed to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Now, there's nowhere in the Bible that says that you have to say a certain prayer to receive Jesus, but you have to accept him as your Savior, admit that you're a sinner, and ask God to come in your life. And that's what these boys do. And some of them have a lot of questions, so we spend a lot of time with them. So anyway, I don't know much about these kids. You know, they're at the camp, and there's 100 of them, so it's hard to know everyone by name. So Thursday night comes, and it's a sharing night. And we tell the kids, you know, don't say the food was crummy or the food was good or it was fun to be on ice, but just come and see if the Lord has moved in your heart. So Dan and Brianna are in the background. They're playing some nice little worship music. And, you know, if I said, hey, I want everyone to come up here and tell me about what happened in your life with God this week. And we'll start here, this little red-headed boy. And then we'll go around here. And all you guys come up. Just come on up and tell me what Jesus did in your life. So Dan and Brianna are up here playing. And, you know, everyone's kind of quiet. No one wants to get up in front. Public speaking's a big deal. So no one likes to do it. So there's a big lull. So finally this little boy, 10-year-old boy, musters up enough courage. And he walks up in front of about 130 people. He's 10. He reaches out. I give him the microphone. He goes, hi, my name's Sam, and I'm from Iowa. And I'm not a very good hockey player. And you guys know it. But the coach told me this week that I was getting better. And it's the first time anyone ever told me I was getting better. So I want to thank him. But then Tuesday night, he said, would anyone like to stay and meet Jesus and talk about him? And I stayed. And I prayed and asked Jesus to come into my heart. And I got to tell you, it was a big moment for me because the first 4 years of my life were awful. My mom and dad didn't love me. They beat me up. They abused me. The courts came in and took me away from my family, and they put me in foster homes. And those foster parents even abused me. But a couple years ago, a family came and they adopted me. And they loved me. And they let me come to this hockey camp. And you know what? Now I have two families. I have my adopted family. But Coach said that I'm adopted into God's family. And now I'm a family of God. I'm in the family of God. And I have a foster, or an adopted family who loves me. This has been the best week of my life. And little Sam sat down. I mean, that kid got it. A little 10-year-old boy knew that he could have a loving family, but he could also have a loving family in God's family. And he said, now I'm a part of a big family, and all of you are my sisters and brothers. So it was a beautiful story, and I could go on because I'm at these camps 8 or 9 weeks in the summer to hear these little kids talk about how Jesus comes into their heart and changes their life from the inside out. So I want to thank you for being a small part of this ministry. And know that those kids at Sticks and Stillwater, you know, we provide ice for them and they play a game. But Jarvis and I and Jimmy and Tracy, we're going to try to do maybe next year is even have a breakfast. So not only do they get to play in a hockey tournament, but they get to hear about Jesus. Because I guarantee you, they're going to be going to tournament after tournament after tournament all winter long. And then they'll be going to do other things for other sports and dance and everything that they do. And their life is so filled up with other things. There's no room for Jesus. So, as Jarvis said and Dan said, you know, they have these steps that they take. They're deciding to follow Jesus. They decided to follow Jesus, but we have to grow. All of us have to grow up in our faith. I did not want to be a missionary. I did not want to talk about Jesus. I am the least qualified person to talk about the Lord. Believe me, if I told you my story, and some of you have heard it, it's awful. But we have a good God, a good, good Father who loves us and wants to change us from the inside out. And that's what he did to me. If you know me personally, you know I'm certainly not perfect. My wife can tell you that, but a lot of people can tell you that. But I can tell you one thing. We serve a perfect God, and he uses imperfect people to do his work. So if you're called into ministry, if you're called to follow Jesus, you know, you might have to leave something. Maybe it's not your career like the fishermen left their boats, but maybe it's just a bad habit or a sin you have in your life. Maybe you have an anger problem, and God's just saying, hey, leave that. Come and follow me. So get involved in a group. Learn to follow Jesus, and he'll change you from the inside out.